We are thankful to the Almighty God that He has seen fit to allow us to assemble ourselves together today. As we approach His throne of grace this morning, as we've prayed, as we have communed, and now as we just take in His Word, we want to just keep it very simplistic and easy to understand and really take, again, we always follow the example of Jesus, but as we look at this particular lesson today on seasoning, and when you think seasoning, I'm sure the first thing that comes to all of our minds is food. And that would be in a very appropriate application, literally. In Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 5, the Bible says, walk in wisdom. Paul writing to the church of Christ located at Colossae. Let me just be clear again. There is Jesus Christ established only one church. Ecclesia, the Greek word, a called out assembly or a body. That's one universal church that believes the same thing. Christians can fall out of fellowship. Christians can fall from grace. Everyone who has obeyed the gospel that is not faithful can fall from grace and lose their soul. Ecclesia, called out body or assembly. And then we have local congregations. The Church of Christ that's located at Colossae. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, it was the Church of Christ located at Corinth. One church, different locations. So Paul writes, so when we teach and preach, as Brother Rick will go to various scriptures, when he says, Paul writing to the saints at, that is to help us all understand. Because God never endorsed or authorized denominations. You may open your wallet, you may have different denominations, a one, a five, I'm sorry, some of y'all rolling a little bigger than that, a 20, a 50, a C note. Did I get you now? Some of y'all may be rolling that way. But my point is different denominations. But let me tell you something. You will not taste the riches of His glory coming through any other path. Jesus says in John, young preacher, give it for me John chapter 14. I always give the young preacher the first one out of the gate because let me tell you something. Desire is a beautiful thing. We're going to talk about desire in our brother's meeting. Give me John 14 and verse 6, Juwan. Juwan desires to read God's word. That's just a young man, and God bless you, Judy and Errol. Because there was a time I would ask him to come sit up front, and it touches my heart because I was that little boy that would get up on that front pew and just hope and pray. This preacher gave me a scripture. And when he would forget, I would just look at him. I said, Juwan, look at you now. He'd look right through you. You know what I'm talking about, Judy. And so then he'll just wait and wait. Then he came to me last week and said, well, what scripture do you want me to read? And I didn't ask him to sit on that front pew this morning. He's there. Amen. Thank God for our young people. Kids desire to play sports. Nothing wrong with that. Kids desire to do all kinds of things. Go to Disney. Nothing wrong with that either in and of itself. This young man desires to read the word of God. John 14 and 6. Let me make my point, then I'll have you read that, son. So you cannot taste the riches of God's glory unless we come through the singular path, the authorized path that God has established. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus says it much more appropriately than I just did. Read.
Jesus saith unto him.
Jesus saith unto them.
I am the way.
I am the way.
The truth.
The truth.
And the life.
And the life. Wait a minute. I am the way. So guess what? You go down a one-way street driving the wrong way, you can lose your life. You go down any other way other than Jesus, you will lose your soul. I am the definite article. The way. The truth. Now again, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Who sets us free? The same one who's the way. Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the what? Give me that last one. The life. See, God, so now, again, stay right there. Give me John 10 and verse number 10. This is just intro. You stay there, young brother. Any of y'all, you got some Nelsons up there, too. Give me any one of y'all Nelsons over there. So many of y'all. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. No, you stay right there, brother. I ain't done with you, young preacher. Hold on a second. I'll give you another microphone. It's all right. It's all here. Take this. See, that's all right. This is not on my time right now. This is intro because y'all asked for it. Amen. That one amen that heard some mumbles. He up there preaching. It's the clock already started. So go on and finish that. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the what?
The life.
Life. I'm doing something here. I'm going from John 14, verse 6. I'm going to John 10 and 10. We're going to put them all together. I know you're not done reading John 14 and 6. I'm coming back to you. You just stay right there. Give me John 10 and 10. What about kind of what Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Brother Herring. Talk about the life Jesus gives us. Read.
The thief cometh not.
Come on.
But for to steal.
See, thieves come just to do one thing, to take what's not theirs. Come on.
And to kill.
Thieves come, and sometimes they may hurt people in order to get what they want that doesn't belong to them. Read, son.
And to destroy.
And to destroy.
I am come.
Jesus said, I am come.
That they might have life.
That they might have what?
Life.
So now we read John. This is called mating scriptures. See what I'm doing with my hands? Everybody look at me for just a second. See, mating scriptures. When you study the Bible, when you study theology, if you can't mate, it's probably not the truth. So when people take you to one scripture saying, those that call on the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to call on the Lord right now, come into my heart, and I'm saved. No, you didn't mate that. What are you mating that with? You're going to speak salvation. You got to put that thing together. So Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Come on, Gail, finish that.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
So Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So if you're taking notes, Jesus gives us an abundant life. See, we are all in the flesh, physical life, but we have a new life. That's why it's called being born again. Nicodemus, John 3, you don't enter a second time into the mother's womb, but we become new creatures in Christ. We become babes in Christ. So now we can go back to John 14 and 6. You pick it up where I stop. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on.
No man cometh unto the Father.
Oh, look at that young preacher. No man cometh unto the Father.
But by me.
Is that clear enough for everybody? So if you have not found Christ, you will not find the Father. And so it is. The way, one-way spiritual street. Get on it. Head in the right direction. The truth. Jesus is the truth. Anybody that says Jesus, you can be saved through other ways other than Jesus, that's not the truth. And the abundant life that Brother Gale read about. That is the only way we can be saved. Now, why do we start there? And we're going to keep this in a nice, tight package today, brothers and sisters. Seasoning. Walk in wisdom. Colossians 4, verse 5. It's on your screen for your convenience. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. He's writing to the saints. So those that are not Christians, we need to live wisely, saints. And again, what I said in the intro, I tipped my hand a little bit because people are watching you and me. And, you know, my grandmother would say, as she redirected us, chastised us, disciplined us, whooped us, whatever she needed to do, because that's the way grandmama rolled. And oftentimes we would hear, y'all know better. Anybody ever heard that? Y'all know better. One time I had my mama, you know, back in the day we had payphones. Y'all don't even know what that is, some of y'all. Coming home from school, I had to take two buses to get to my grandmama's house after school. And I had just enough money to get home. I had to put a quarter. And so there was something called a Rocket Arcade. That's when the video games, they had big old boxes and you go and play a video game. It wasn't just a little controller in your hand, PS5 and all that. We went and put a quarter in a machine and that gave you a game. And so I said, you know what, I'm taking that quarter and I'm going to Rocket Arcade. And I got off the first bus, supposed to get on the second bus, go right to my grandmama's house, be there about 3:35 every day. 3:35 came, I went to Rocket Arcade. Put that quarter in Galaga. Y'all don't know about that. Got shot up, pop, pop, real quick. I wasn't too good at it. And I'm sitting there looking at games. You know, you said it's one thing. Yeah, after you lose your quarter, I'm sitting there acting like I'm playing other games. I didn't have any more money. And it snowed that day. Yeah, I'm talking about Toledo, Ohio. And so I got to walk to my grandmama's house down Door Street. And it's snowing. And so I'm walking like this, literally, in inches of snow. So I get there pretty late. And I turn that corner and I see my grandmama. And she saw me. And I could tell she had been crying because she called my mama. Gail ain't here. Gail's not here. I took a different way. And I'm hearing my mama on the phone. I'm going to kill him. It's a scary thing. You take a different way. Thank God they didn't kill me. And you know who stopped my mama from? It was grandmama. She was more scared than anything else. She saw her grandbaby, and that was it. But my mama, that's, well, God bless Cubby. But grandmama's like, you know, when grandmama speaks, it does something. He said, don't touch him. I got him. She sat me down, made sure, gave me something to eat, and said, don't you ever do that again. I said, yes, ma'am. And I didn't. But see, people are taking different ways. So we got to walk in wisdom. We got to live. If we know better, we got to do better, saints. Let's go to work. Walk in wisdom. Live. Walk right in wisdom. Wisdom ain't knowledge. Not wisdom takes is far above just knowing to do right. Many children of God know to do right, but they're not walking wisely. Wisdom lets you know there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. There's a time to act and there's a time to pray. We got a whole lot of Christians going to pray but never act. That ain't wisdom. Amen. I will get this to you as practically as I can. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time. People are watching you without outside the Lord's church. People are see us. How can you encourage somebody if we're not doing what we need to do? That's not wise either. You can do all these good works, but yet people look at you. And there's a word called overcompensation. Compensation means payment or what you do, the wages you receive for the work you do. See, brothers and sisters, it's an easy read. When we overcompensate, doing good works, overcompensate, but people will look at just how you're living. Amen. Let your speech now, and it's not just what we do, it's what we say. Look at verse 6, Colossians chapter 4. Let your speech be always with grace. Here we go. Seasoned with salt. A-R-T-U-W. A-R-T-U-W. I just spelled a Greek word, artu. That means seasoned. That's the Greek word for season in Colossians 4 and 6. But what I love about this word, it means to prepare, to arrange. If you're ever going to season up some fish or something like that, we got some good cooks in here. You arrange the, don't you? It's an arrangement. But when you start cooking those baker beans, Lindsay, back in the day, you lay out what you need. I take out my sea salt, my garlic, a little cayenne pepper. So you arrange and you have a certain sequencing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all can't cook, obviously. The word artu in the Greek, to prepare, to arrange. You show me somebody that can cook, speaking of grandmama. And you got, there's a sequencing to it. This word artu means to add savor. Here's what one I like, a stimulating spice. See, a stimulant adds something to it. It enhances. You ever tasted some food? Now see, again, let me keep this very general. Because, see, those of you that don't know how to cook, you can sit down and you eat the food and you're like, oh, you know that look. Oh, you make a sound. See, there's a sound you make when it's good, like, mm. Then there's a sound you make when some of you taste something ain't so good. All right. Mm. And you got to put something on it. You got to season it. You ever had something that you can tell when French fries have salt or they do not? A stimulating spice. Now, why is it so important? Because what Paul is saying to the saints of God at Colossae, he's like, we should enhance people's lives. We as Christians should still be that stimulating spice in somebody else's life. But if we're the ones that are downtrodden, if we're the ones, you know, seasoned some with doubt, taking it back to our previous lessons, sequential teaching, thematic teaching, we got too much doubt being seasoned in our lives. We can't be the ones that are downtrodden. It's a stimulating spice. Doesn't mean you have to be an extrovert. What we're talking about is how people react to us, how you react to people. Brothers and sisters, if we don't improve our soft skills, see, there's hard skills and soft skills. Hard skills are you can program a computer. Hard skills are you have knowledge in a certain area, but wisdom includes soft skills. Jesus sat down with sinners. They murmured about the Master, our Savior. He had soft skills. That's the interpersonal skill. It may start. Maybe you don't have the oomph to just say out loud, hey, how you doing, sister? But you know what you can say? Say it with your eyes. Smile. That's the beginning of developing those soft skills. Are y'all smiling behind your mask right now? Soft skills. If people don't want to be around you, it's kind of hard for you to evangelize. Amen. So let your speech be always with grace. Grace is getting something we didn't deserve. So we should be thankful all the time. Didn't we preach on joy a week ago or 2 weeks ago? Rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. So if our speech, what we say, how we act is always with grace, we're always thankful. So less complaining, no more trying, no more doubting. Season with salt. Make sure that stimulating spice of I'm thankful to God for my children, and I am thankful to God for my wife. Pray for her. She's in a certification today and tomorrow for work. So as we think about who we are and whose we are, God is expecting us to be that stimulating spice, but some of our lives are too bland. Because we can tell you everything that's wrong in our lives. We can tell you everything I'm struggling with. But then what are you thankful for? Amen, saints? The process. Let's hear from Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and Luke chapter 14 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Because let me tell you something. Jesus addresses this very point. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, we're going to read them in that order. Then we're going to go to Luke 14 and verse 34. Jesus, two different accounts, Matthew and Luke's respectively. But listen how Jesus addresses this stimulating spice and whether we're going to be a beneficial, an asset, or a liability. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Read the Bible, brethren.
Ye are the salt of the earth.
Jesus said, now, you are the salt. You are the seasoning for the earth. Read.
But if the salt have lost its savor,
if you are too bland, if you lack the savor, people can't even tell if you're in the room or not. People can't tell if you're a Christian or not, because you're the most negative one in the room. You're the one doubting. Where is that always with grace? Where is that speech that have you even said thank you? Amen. Jesus says, if the salt has lost its savor, read.
Wherewith shall it be salted?
How can the world be seasoned? If we don't bring that stimulating spice attitude, if we don't walk in wisdom, if we don't speak with grace, be thankful. One of the things Brother Rick said in Bible class, success breeds success. Jesus expected growth. Jesus expected the best. When he saw a fig tree, he saw the fig tree. He's like, why is there no fruit on that fig tree? Dead. Same Jesus who's love. You don't bring forth fruit. Because see, we can get caught up in circumstances. We've been talking about all of this. And one of the things we're seeking to do, and again, through Bible class and through the lessons, through the sermons, is to remind us of the practicality of being a Christian. It's just how we live, how we speak. Smiling. Spending a few minutes getting to know somebody. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. But Jesus says, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted or seasoned? Read.
It is thenceforth good for nothing.
Jesus says, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Why would you have something on your shelf, seasoning, let's say some sea salt, and you put it, sprinkle it on some fries, and you taste a French fry, and you can't taste anything? You just sprinkle a little bit more on it, and you can't taste anything. You're going to throw that box of salt away. Because you're not doing what I expect. It's not stimulating. It's not that stimulating spice. So, brother and sister, I want you to ask yourself, don't answer out loud. Am I enhancing people's lives? The way I speak, the way I live, am I enhancing anybody's life? When people are around me and entered your name, when people are around me, I'm doing the same thing publicly while you do it yourself in those seats. Am I enhancing a local congregation? Because Jesus says, if you're not enhancing, you're good for nothing. Come on.
But to be cast out. And to be trodden under the foot of men.
So now what did they do with salt that lost its savor? They put that on the roads back in the day. And during Jesus' time, they would walk on it. So why did you say trodden upon the foot of men? Because that would literally be on the roads. So it's good for nothing but just to be stepped on. Let's put it in more context. Luke chapter 14, verse 34. Y'all still on the line with me today? Luke chapter 14 and verse 34. Seasoning. I don't want a bland life. I want an abundant life. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. Abundance means just that. Greater than normal. Above that which is mediocre. Do we as children of God want to live an abundant life? But that means we have a responsibility. Luke chapter 14, verse 34, referencing the same salt of the earth. But look at this verse. Look at Luke's account. I love this. Read.
Salt is good.
But
if the salt have lost his flavor,
if the salt have lost his savor, if a salt does not enhance and or stimulate, read.
Wherewith shall it be seasoned?
How can anything be seasoned? So our lesson today is seasoning. There's a word. If you all have been around Miami Gardens for any time, you've heard me speak or teach a class and all that, you recognize that we don't use the word old around here. Amen. Now, some of y'all think you're a yam, but you're not a yam. We're gonna keep working on that all year, I guess. Now, for those of you that maybe listen, it's like, what's a yam? We're not talking about a sweet potato or anything like that. We're talking about a young adult ministry and service. Thank God for our young people. That's like, see, once you're, I guess, 17 plus, or to start at eight, about 18, 17 plus to about 30-ish. Now, I feel like I'm 30, but I ain't 30. Amen. So I'm therefore not a yam. Say amen now. Because some of y'all going to keep teaching that until y'all stop going to their meeting. There's a place for everybody in the church. And so let me talk about the process of aging. The process of aging. And this is going to be our final section. You understand seasoning, R2, A-R-T-U-W, Greek word, stimulating spice, to prepare, to arrange, to enhance. Everybody got that? Amen means truly to sow. I'm just making sure you're being taught today. So Jesus made it clear, if you're not enhancing, you're good for nothing. If you're not bringing that stimulating spice to someone else's life, then how can it be seasoned? So that's our first point. Paul, in our lesson text, point 2 of 3, walk, live in wisdom, redeeming toward them that are without. Be mindful of other people. The first thing the devil wants you to do and for me to do is just think about ourselves. When everything is I, that's the devil's device. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Paul, writing to the Philippians, the Church of Christ at Philippi, esteem others greater or better than yourself. So we have to be mindful. We said something to all our young men today. I'll give you an example. Growing up, we had men that talked to us, and Lindsay, you know this to be true, brother. We had men that talked to us saying, come here, boy. And they would call you boy, too, without apology. Come here, boy. Tuck in that shirt. Why don't you go up there looking like that? We told all our young men that this morning. We said, young man, you walking, you going to work in here? You better tuck in your shirt. Amen. We told all, said again, because again, I would hope that when your kids graduate, walk across that stage, you're going to have them walking on some pajamas. Amen. So what we did today to all our young men, we're going to talk about our brothers. Brothers, look the part now. You got to come in here in a tuxedo unless you, that's how you roll it, that's fine. But there's a mindset. And so walk in wisdom toward them that are without. We're considering those who are looking at us. Not for a show, but to make sure that what we do is to the best of our ability. The way we speak, verse 6 again, seasoned with salt. But now let's talk about the aging process. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. You may want to write that one down. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verses 6. We talked about that word R2, seasoned, prepare or arrange. As I look around this audience today, I see families sitting together. One family got the whole pew. Y'all got room for maybe 1.5 more people over there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm looking right at y'all. That's a beautiful thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look at them. I got it. Just on an example. There's nothing more beautiful. But there's some preparation. As I look and I see grandmama, and if your whole family could be here, even those that are deceased, Lord, how much, what I would give if my grandmama, the late Viola Claypool, the woman that I just talked about that spared my life, but Sunday morning, there was no doubt. Think about that matriarch or that patriarch in your family who had a lot to do with you being a child of God. If they could walk in that auditorium and sit down right there, what would you do just to hug them one more time? Here's my point. We prepare before our kids get older. We're ahead of them. I'm already ahead of my kids because I'm preparing for them. Preparing, that's a job. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says, y'all got it, brothers, y'all can read it. If not, I'll quote it. Go ahead and read Proverbs 22, verse 6. Come on, train.
Train up a child.
Train up a child.
In the way he should go.
In the way he should go.
And when he is old.
And when he is old.
He will not depart from
he
it.
He will not depart from it. So the Bible says, you prepare, you arrange. Before you know, again, and I'm getting into cooking. I've always cooked, but I'm doing a little bit more right now because it's therapeutic for me. See, when y'all stress me out, I go and I saute some salmon. Y'all miss that. My point is, when we cook, we prepare ahead. You know what the finished product should look like. So if I'm going to go ahead and bake some salmon and all that, I know exactly what I'm going to put on that thing. I got my smoked paprika. I got my cayenne. I got everything. I know what I'm going to put on that to get the end result. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, more seasoned, more experienced, he will not depart from it. Sadly, those many that have grown up who know better aren't doing better. The encouragement to all of you today, an encouragement that I had to, as I went through this lesson and went through my notes, what hit me was the fact that, good God, God has given us such an incredible responsibility. You plant a seed, so think about it domestically first. Train your children up, and when they get older, they can still remain faithful, and it can, the legacy can continue. That's looking at it from that standpoint. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. See, God knows we get older, and for those of you that are more seasoned, we ain't going to use the word old now, even though we know we age, we get older, the body begins to deteriorate. Amen. And I don't care how much color, I told you all this many times, I don't care how much color you put in your hair, I'm going to keep it black. Yes, it gets gray underneath. And my point is, that's a beautiful thing. There's a word I will show you, and we may have to get to that on Wednesday, where the Bible talks about the gray hairs and the beauty, the wisdom, as Paul said. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we got to go through this rather quickly, and we're going to look at select verses. Brothers, just follow me. I'll call out verse if I need it. But the Bible says, remember now thy creator, when? In the days of thy youth, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. While the evil days come not. Wait a minute now. The wise man Solomon is referring to youth and old age. And he's referring to old age as the evil days. Let me look at this clock when I say this. There are those who can age and get older, and things may hurt like they never hurt before. The mind can get, you start thinking about different things. It can get lonely, and you can become evil. The word the Bible uses, now the word evil is not talking, again, you can be, you know, people talk about grump. There was a movie, Grumpy Old Men. So we need to be mindful. I have heard from young people, because the Bible talks about sound doctrine, Titus chapter 2. If we're not careful, don't push this other generation away. Amen. But now the younger generation, don't act like you know everything. See, it's a two-way street. So when the Bible talks about sound doctrines, let's put it in context. Because again, when people get more seasoned, and I've seen it. We've seen it as leaders. I see it in business. I see it in the Lord's church. People can get older and just get just flat out mean. And this is when you should be doing even more teaching. I fall into the seasoned category. Like I said, I feel 30, 25. But let me tell you something. Seasoned. We need to use good sense. And there's an expectation. Why did the wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12 say, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth? For when the evil days, let's get it in context. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You mean to tell me, wise man Solomon, that people can get to the point where they get older and they don't enjoy living anymore? Not saying that somebody's going to take their life, but it's hard. It's hard to get up. It's hard to walk. And I didn't understand it growing up when I had some of my kin folks say, go get my teeth. I'm like, go get your teeth. I was a little vocal, surprise. And I saw a jar and there were some teeth in it. Here's your teeth. No, and again, without any, I say that in context because there was some help needed. And guess what? You just keep on living, you're going to need some help. So all these young people that think you're invincible, you better keep on living. And listen to the older generation, the seasoned generation. So now, watch this. Now, Solomon gets a little graphic here because he explains what seasoning looks like. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He's talking about basically the eyes. It gets harder to see. There was a time I didn't need contacts or glasses. Now my daughter laughs at me. I put my glasses on. I'm doing this now. Anybody relate? So then I have my phone. I have it right here. I got to take off my glasses, put my glasses up. I'm like, okay, I can see it now. I just need a little help. The days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Talking about those bones. The strong men shall bow themselves. Talk about that back. You know, you may not be able to stand as straight up as you used to. And the grinders cease because they are few. You're losing teeth. It's part of life. So why did the wise man say, remember now, plant the seed now? See, when as I grow older, I'm going to grow wiser and teach the younger generation. When I talk about this young preacher, Juwan Bell, we have a duty to teach, a duty to live in such a way where we can enhance somebody else's life. Again, he goes through all the way down to about verse number 7. If you will, because he says, then we will die. So let's be mindful and thankful for what God has given us the opportunity to do. And I encourage everyone here today. When you plant a seed, you expect growth. You want the seed to blossom. You want the child to be trained and be faithful. Thank God that parents have their children here. Keep training them. So when they grow up, they won't depart from the way. Too many children have left the Lord's church. And you can trace it all back, and you're going to see some dots that might not have connected. Sometimes it's parental delinquency. Sometimes it's a kid who knows better, but they choose to do differently, because we are all free moral agents. Amen. Sometimes it's a combination of the two. You let them just do whatever they wanted to do. You got them involved in everything else, but somehow the church and getting involved here wasn't enough. I've seen, there's about three basic scenarios. We'll talk about that one day. Sometimes it's flat out parent delinquency. But again, you got to be firm. Plant the seed, you got to water it, get rid of the weeds, and you expect growth. Amen. In a domestic context, children, we train them. Proverbs 22 and 6, we expect them to grow. Now let me show you our last point we want to make today. Because I told you, they talked to the preacher, and he said he was going to adjust. So let's go ahead and make that adjustment right now. One more point. Last week, we talked about Caleb. Last week, we talked about greatness. Greatness in terms, he had another spirit within him. On Wednesday, we talked about Daniel. He had an excellent spirit. And so as we think about the Word of God today, as you think about the mindset that's different, if I know and you know that we are going to get older, why not have that excellent spirit within us, that mindset? Let me give you a scripture to put that in context for those that weren't here on Wednesday. Proverbs 17. Let's look at verse 27. Proverbs chapter 17. If you were with us on Wednesday night in our Bible study online, then you already heard this scripture, but let me go ahead and hit this nail one more time. See, Daniel had a more excellent spirit. Caleb had another spirit. And so again, we don't have, just because your back hurts and your leg hurts and you were getting older, doesn't mean we have to be mean. Amen. And it gets frustrating. There's a time I could bend over, tie my shoes. I wouldn't make a sound. Now it's like, it's part of life. Proverbs 17, verse 27, the Bible says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So when the Bible talks about Caleb had another spirit, Daniel had an excellent spirit, what you see here, the Bible gives us the definition of an excellent spirit. It's not just knowledge. It's self-control. Look at it again, verse 27. He that hath knowledge, you know better, and you spare your words. You know when to say, you know when to speak, and when to be quiet. Amen. Sounds like James, right? Slow to wrath, slow to speak. And a man of understanding, wisdom, is of an excellent spirit. So we just made it that with Colossians chapter 4. Walk in wisdom. Seek to understand. If there's ever any type of conflict, you got to seek to understand. Why did this occur? How can we prevent it from ever happening again? You got to seek to understand, not seek to justify. Well, here's why I did it. Rick used that in Bible class this morning. Somebody, well, he hit me. That's why I hit him back. Well, okay, let's go back to why did he hit you? We want to prevent that. Cut it at its core. Nip it in the bud, if you will. But let me give you an example of what maturation looks like. If you have a mentality right now, at whatever age you are, Some of you in here, are, you know, we got preschool, we got elementary, all the way up to our beautiful seniors. Amen. As you grow and you get to the point of understanding, you know what you're talking about. You know what you're thinking. Will you maintain that attitude of excellence? Or will you waver and doubt and even in some cases fall away? Caleb, we're going to finish with Caleb. Caleb had another spirit. In Numbers, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. We're going to Numbers and Joshua, and that's this lesson will be yours. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Remember what he said? When the 12 spies went to spy out the land of Canaan? In Numbers chapter 13, brethren, and the verse is 30, listen to what he said. Go on and read it.
And Caleb stilled the people before Moses.
And Caleb stilled the people before Moses.
And said, let us go up at once.
Let us go up at once. There's an urgency. There's no fear. Let us go up at once. Read.
And possess it.
And possess it.
For we are well able to overcome it.
For we are well able to overcome it. There's a mentality. We are well able to overcome it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Go ahead, son.
But the men that went up with him said.
Say that again.
But the men that went up with him
but
said.
But the men that went up with him said.
We be not able to go up against the people.
We cannot go up against the people.
For they are stronger than we.
For they are stronger than we. That's a mentality. Let me ask everybody. You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to consider this question. Is anything stronger than God? Is any circumstance you are dealing with, is God not able to help you through it, get you through it? We got to go through to get to. If you all think, and if I think at any time that I'm going to be in this express lane, this Disney fast pass, I'm just going to avoid any kind of conflict, any kind of trouble, and I just need God just to, y'all just pray for me. But yeah, we don't want to go through anything. And the point that I want you to understand, 12 men saw the same thing. 10 of them said, we can't do it. There may be some sitting here today, some who should be here today, saying, we can't do it. I can't do it. God is able. I want to say to you with all the love in my heart, we can do anything. What did Paul say in Philippians 4 and verse 13? I can do some things. Well, if y'all pray for me, I may be able to do it. Did he say, I will try to do it? Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul writing to the church of Christ at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Strengthen to break that word down. He empowers me. He emboldens me. I understand him, and he understands me. Lord, have mercy. So let me. Can we fast forward 45 years? Watch this. Caleb was 40 years old when he said that. We're going to prove that biblically. He was 40 years old. I don't know if anybody here is at or near 40 years of age. I'm slightly above it. Wasn't funny. But he had a mentality. He said, let us go up at once. Let's see what Caleb sounds like at age 85. Joshua chapter 14. We're closing with this. I've closed three times already. Don't start counting that. Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse number 7. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7. As we close out our lesson on seasoning, that experience, that stimulating spice, Caleb says in Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse number 7, Richard Nelson V, go ahead and start reading, son. I may take it because you're going to get me excited. Read.
40 years old was I.
40 years old was I.
When Moses, the servant of the Lord.
When Moses, the servant of the Lord.
Sent me from Kadesh
Barnea. Sent me from Kadesh Barnea.
To espy out the land.
To espy out the land.
And I brought him word again.
And I brought him word again.
As it was in mine heart.
As it was in mine heart. So when you got somebody, and listen carefully to what I'm about to say to you. When people look at you and say, I don't know. That's what's in their heart. If they don't believe in themselves, how can they be any good for God? Jesus said, you're nothing without me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you are nothing. He said, I told Moses what was in my heart. 40 years old when he said that. There's your proof. Read.
Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me.
My brethren that went up with me.
Made the heart of the people melt.
Made the heart of the people melt.
But keep in mind,
wait a minute. Don't you rush me. I told you I'm finishing, but I ain't finished. Hold on, nephew. I want to put together everything we've talked about so far. If you're not the stimulating spice that we need to be, then guess what? You're going to hurt people. You're going to cause other people to stumble. He said, I told Moses it was in my heart. What did he say? Gail just read it, Numbers 13 and 30. Let us go up at once. We're able to do it. But my brethren said, we can't. He said, my brethren, Joshua 14 and 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Brothers and sisters, this may hurt, but I got to say it. Quit making people's hearts melt by the way you act, by the way you speak, by your disposition. See, God expects, we have to be the shining light, not a flickering light. I don't know. I'm up, I'm down. We got to be a constant. God is counting on us. I've had many a basketball team, some football team, run on a field. I tell them in the locker room, okay, just don't try to lose by 50 points. Now get on out there and make me proud. What kind of foolishness is that? Sometimes you don't play not to lose, you play to win. Amen. So he says, my brethren made the people's heart melt, but look at this. But what did he do?
But I wholly followed the Lord.
But I wholly, W-H-O-L-Y, it means fully, followed the Lord my God. So don't do it halfway. Let's keep going. Hold to God. We sing the song, hold to God's unchanging hand. Come on.
And Moses swear on that day.
And Moses swear on that day.
Saying,
surely.
Come on. The land whereon their feet have trodden.
Everywhere you have stepped.
Shall be thine inheritance.
Shall be your inheritance. Come on.
And thy children's forever.
Look at the legacy. And thy children's forever.
Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God.
Because you followed the Lord thy God. I got it now, nephew. Thank you. So now, what did Moses say to him? Because you did this, your family will be blessed. If we prepare ahead of time, seasoning, prepare, arrange, stimulating spice. My job in life, and I'm thankful to God. When I got married in 1995, clearly had a desire to have children. Four beautiful children, all members of the Lord's church. Every one of them here in the Lord, here today, active and working. I don't say that to brag. I thank God for that. If it were different, I'd be up here saying, y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for my kids that they can just do right. And if many families are like that, and we need to do that and pray for them and do everything we can. But a stimulating spice, he said, my brothers caused people to be discouraged. But Moses said, because you did what you trusted God, your family will be a blessing. They will reap the benefits of what you have done. And that's my job as a daddy. All daddies that are under the sound of my voice, both here and elsewhere, we have to be a blessing to our family, not just providing food, clothing, and shelter. Be a spiritual benefit to your family. That's my legacy. Amen. That's your legacy. Verse 10, and now, here we go. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses. Now, how old was he? Verse 7 tells you how old he was when he went out to spy the land, 40 years old. But the Lord kept him alive 45 more years. He's now 85 years old. Now, brothers and sisters, may have some folks here above 85, may have some folks near 85, and certainly have folks below 85. But you do not retire from working in the Lord's church. Well, baby, you know, I used to do all that, but you know, I can't do anything right now. Who told you can't do anything? You may not be able to stand up in the kitchen, do all that stuff, but you can certainly say, sister, I'm going to sit in this chair right here. I'm going to train you on what to do. Amen. And there's a time when you can't do it like what you used to do. There's a time you need to get out of the way because you're slowing everybody else down too. But train. Titus chapter, I'm going to talk to you all on Wednesday about that. Pray for me. He says, I'm now, God has spared my life 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day, fourscore is 20. Fourscore, that's 80, Lindsay. You're the math teacher, 85 years old. He said, I'm now standing here, 85 years of age. If the Lord spares my life, I pray to God. If the Lord spares my life and I make it to 85, I'm preaching somewhere. Amen. May not be able to move like I did. May not be as loud and be like, girl, y'all go, Jesus. I'm still going to preach. I may lean over and I may fall over, but I'm going to still preach. Amen. And look at what he said in verse 11. This is it. And yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Seasoning. So quit saying, well, you know, but you go, I'm here, I'm just declining right now. See, that's a mentality. 85-year-old man looking back when he was 40 said, I am as strong today as I was when I told the people of Israel, told the congregation, we can do this. So what am I saying to everybody here that's seasoned, varying levels of experience, varying levels of seasoning? Keep shaking that salt shaker in the light in your life and enhance somebody, because you may be the one saying, sister, I see it in your eyes, you're going through something, but you know what? I've been there. You can make it. Lord have mercy. You don't know the kind of influence you have. And yet, as I'm as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, know what it's there for. He's reflecting. He's telling us, I'm 85. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Lord, have mercy. What did he say when he was 40? Let's go now. And now God allows them. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief, lack of faith, doubt. Now he's saying, give me this mountain. I love it. Give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I'm an 85-year-old man. I don't care I don't care who's inside the land of Canaan. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? That concludes our lesson for today. I pray to God that something was said today to cause you and me to just be better. Seasoning. Nobody wants a bland life. Enhance, stimulate, season, spice. Prepare, arrange. So as we prepare for heaven, as we arrange our lives, we have to obey the gospel to get in that path, to be on that way. Jesus, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do to prepare that way? He died on the cross, shed his blood. When he shed his blood, he purchased the church of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church of Christ. The church of Christ has no earthly headquarters. Another differentiator. Only one reverend, he's in heaven. No earthly headquarters. Every congregation is autonomous. Amen. You have elders here that have oversight here, nowhere else. Pray for all the churches of Christ, all the congregations, but we don't control what the other congregations do. You got to hear and believe that what Jesus Christ did when he died on that cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And upon that, his resurrection, he had victory over death, hell, and the grave. He's on the right hand of the throne of God in heaven right now. And what must you do to be saved? You must hear and believe that. Acts 15:7, you must be willing to repent, change your mind. Change your mind. Make sure what's on your heart. And don't say, I want to get my life right first. You can't get your life right first outside of Christ. You can get the best job, have the best car, have all the kind of money in the bank, have good health, and you got your life right, or you could die and go straight to hell. And all that stuff goes to somebody else. They're like, thank you very kindly for working so hard. That's not what preparation arrangement's all about. It's good to prepare practically, but the best thing we need to prepare for is spiritually, our soul. Repent of our sins, confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. Go down the water grave of baptism. And when you are baptized, you're added to the church of Christ. You're added. Acts 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, not a church, the church daily, such as should be saved. Rise up to walk in wisdom with our speech seasoned with salt. And to heaven we can go. And I love the fact that the way God, give me a microphone. I love the fact the way God treated us. See, he didn't say, you better get in this church. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and me. And we are called by the gospel. If you're here this morning and you need to respond, please do so right now as we together stand.